Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narc Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Book and Dagger by Elise Graham explores a lesser-known front of World War II intelligence, where the tools of scholarship became instruments of war. Rather than focusing on glamorous field agents, the book highlights how librarians, academics, archivists, linguists, and other research professionals were recruited into wartime service, particularly within organizations such as the Office of Strategic Services. Graham connects the habits of careful reading, cataloging, classification, and source evaluation to the urgent demands of espionage and military planning. The narrative emphasizes how information was gathered from libraries and archives, maps and newspapers, captured documents, and cultural knowledge, then transformed into actionable intelligence. It also examines the ethical and practical tensions of turning cultural stewardship into strategic advantage. By centering these unlikely spies, the book offers a fresh angle on how modern intelligence work was built not only by soldiers and operatives, but also by people trained to find, organize, and interpret knowledge under pressure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from reading rooms to war rooms. A central topic is the surprising pipeline that moved scholars and librarians into intelligence roles. The book frames their recruitment as a logical response to wartime needs. Governments required people who could locate obscure information quickly, evaluate reliability, and synthesize scattered sources into usable reports. Academic specialization, language skills, and bibliographic expertise became practical assets. The shift was not simply a change of workplace, but a change of mission, from preserving and sharing knowledge to using it for strategic advantage. This topic also clarifies why these professions were suited to intelligence culture. Librarians excel at controlled vocabularies, cross-referencing, and building retrieval systems, all of which translate into managing large bodies of intelligence. Scholars bring domain expertise and an ability to argue from evidence, which supports analytic rigor. By showing how routine intellectual practices gain new urgency, the book helps readers understand that intelligence work is often more about disciplined research than cinematic action, and that modern analysis-driven espionage has roots in the everyday methods of the humanities and social sciences. Secondly, information as a weapon, building intelligence from open and captured sources. Another major topic is how wartime intelligence relied on assembling fragments into coherent pictures. The book highlights methods that resemble advanced research workflows, collecting open source materials such as newspapers, journals, travel accounts, and technical publications, then combining them with captured documents, interrogations, and field reports. Librarians and scholars were valuable because they could trace provenance, compare editions, detect inconsistencies, and spot what was missing. This topic emphasizes process over single breakthroughs. Effective intelligence emerges from systems that ingest information, index it, and make it retrievable for analysts and planners on tight deadlines. The narrative also underscores how classification and cataloging are not neutral. Deciding how to label a document, where to file it, and what metadata to attach can determine whether crucial details surface in time. Readers come away with a clearer sense of wartime constraints, information overload, time pressure, and uncertain sources. The book uses this to show that the success of many operations depended on less visible labor, the steady conversion of raw material into structured knowledge that commanders could act on. Thirdly, the birth of modern analytical tradecraft. The book also examines how the participation of academics helped shape analytical tradecraft that resembles contemporary intelligence analysis. Scholars are trained to weigh evidence, note ambiguities, and propose interpretations while acknowledging uncertainty. In wartime, those habits had to be adapted to decisions where delays could cost lives. This topic explores the tension balancing careful scholarship with the need to provide timely judgments. It also addresses the creation of workflows and teams that could produce repeatable outputs, such as briefs, estimates, and reference files. Librarians contributed by designing information systems, while scholars contributed interpretive frameworks and deep contextual knowledge. The result was a move toward institutionalized analysis rather than reliance on isolated intuition. This topic is especially relevant for readers interested in how organizations learn. The book suggests that intelligence agencies did not simply collect secrets, they professionalized the work of turning information into insight. By tracing these origins, Graham gives readers a historical explanation for why analytical rigor, citation habits, and structured argumentation became valued in intelligence settings, and how the culture of academia quietly influenced national security practices. Fourthly, cultural knowledge, language skills, and the human terrain. A further key topic is the use of cultural and linguistic expertise to understand adversaries and allies. The book shows how area studies, knowledge, fluency in languages, and familiarity with local histories could inform everything from propaganda analysis to planning for occupation and governance. Scholars trained in literature, history, anthropology, and related fields could interpret symbols, narratives, and social structures that might otherwise be misread. This topic illustrates that intelligence is not only about hardware and troop movements, but also about motivations, perceptions, and communication. Librarians and archivists, meanwhile, could locate rare materials and build reference collections that supported this kind of contextual work. The book's focus on cultural intelligence also raises questions about interpretation and bias. Deep expertise can sharpen analysis, but it can also bring assumptions from academic debates into operational settings. By examining how cultural knowledge was operationalized, Graham highlights both its power and its risks. For modern readers, the lesson is that understanding people and meanings can be as strategically important as understanding geography, and that language and culture specialists often provide the connective tissue between raw reports and realistic assessments. Lastly, ethics, preservation, and the dual-use dilemma. The final major topic concerns ethical complications when custodians of knowledge become instruments of war. Librarians and scholars often view their work as serving public access, preservation, and intellectual integrity. Wartime intelligence can demand secrecy, selective disclosure, and actions that may conflict with those values. The book explores the dual-use dilemma. The same skills used to protect cultural heritage can also be used to target, exploit, or control information. It also points to the fragility of cultural materials in wartime and the competing imperatives to safeguard collections, seize documents for intelligence, or restrict access for security reasons. This topic encourages readers to see intelligence history as an institutional story about values and trade-offs, not only tactics. It also resonates today, when information professionals navigate privacy, surveillance, and misinformation. By spotlighting these dilemmas, Graham invites reflection on responsibility within knowledge work. The book suggests that professional ethics do not disappear in crisis, but they are tested, reshaped, and sometimes compromised. Readers are left considering what it means to serve the public good when national survival is at stake, and how those choices echo long after the conflict ends. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy World War II history but want a perspective beyond battles and famous spies, as well as librarians, researchers, and academics curious about how their skills map onto real-world stakes. It is also a strong fit for anyone interested in the origins of modern intelligence analysis and the backstage labor that enables decision-making. The benefit to a reader's life is practical as well as historical. By showing how careful sourcing, organization, and synthesis mattered under extreme pressure, the book reinforces habits that improve everyday thinking, verifying claims, building systems for information retrieval, and recognizing how labels and categories shape conclusions. It also prompts reflection on professional ethics, a useful lens for anyone working with data, archives, or public information today. Compared with similar WWW titles that emphasize clandestine action, Book and Dagger stands out by centering knowledge work as the engine of espionage. That focus makes it distinctive, intellectually satisfying, and broadly relevant. It is worth buying because it connects an underappreciated group of wartime contributors to lasting changes in how intelligence is produced, offering a fresh narrative that complements, rather than repeats, more conventional spy histories. If you would like to support Elise Graham, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.